we're going to help bring back the world when it disappears, we'll need to be present to that work, William Safford tells us. We need to watch it and then look at each other to know what it is we're working to save and to do it together. To know what we're working to save also means to get our inspiration and our motivation from it, to know it at its best or to dream it at its best and work backwards from that best when it fades. To know that, in the words of the Unitarian theologian James Luther Adams, the resources, divine and human, that are available for the achievement of meaningful change justify an attitude of ultimate optimism. Ultimate optimism. It's different from what we often think of as hope. It's the idea that we can impact the world in meaningful and positive ways over time, that hope is not dead, that buds will bloom and bulbs will become daffodils and spring will follow winter. In this particular time, I hear that as a reminder to think about the long term and to gather our resources. And I think that we are our own best resources. We have access to so much good through each other's words and actions and simply presence. We have communities of care, of support, and of power. We have the lessons of our history that we share with each other, and we have the leaders of our future. We have gardens and neighborhoods and beauty and joy and relationships with humans and other beings, and mornings and evenings that roll along, as the poet says, reminding us of the ever-turning wheel of time. And ideas, so many ideas about what we can do to bring back the world. I found some of those ideas in an opinion article in the Washington Post by Perry Bacon Jr. last week. The article was called "Don't Doom Scroll About Trump, Do These Five Things Instead." Number one was join the union at your workplace. Number three was sign up for emails from Indivisible. Number four was join the Democratic Socialists of America and or the Working Families Party. And number five was join a policy group. We'll talk about those at some point, maybe. But I want to talk about number two. The author offers join a Unitarian Universalist congregation as number two in his list. Here's what he had to say about us. If you're part of a Christian, Muslim, Jewish, or other religious group that meets regularly and engages politically, skip this. But there is a growing number of Americans, particularly on the left, who are religiously unaffiliated and not regularly congregating with people who share their values. They should consider the Unitarian Universalists. I recently started regularly attending a UU service in Louisville. It's much more political than the Christian churches I have previously been a member of. That turned me off at first. Since politics is essentially my job, I try, usually unsuccessfully, to avoid discussions of elections and government in my off hours. And I was leery of a church whose openly liberal values would clearly turn off Trump supporters and therefore ensure a congregation that didn't include many Republicans. But before the election, church members engaged in politics in a practical way, encouraging congregants to go canvassing in opposition to a proposed constitutional amendment here to create a school vouchers program. It failed. So at least on Sundays, I was in a community of people working on a concrete, discrete local issue, as opposed to nervously speculating about Vice President Kamala Harris's poll numbers. Post-election, I was relieved to be in a space where we openly discussed shared values and ideals we felt had been rejected by America in electing Trump, such as support of immigrants and LGBTQ plus people. End quote. I love that there is publicity about us out there. We are a small denomination, 1,000 congregations at last count, with about 130,000 members. But we are mighty, and we save lives, and I mean that literally. People come into our buildings every Sunday and find a place they can be fully themselves, a thing that's going to be more and more important over the next 4 years. We learn something about what it means to be welcoming with every new person who finds us, and we grow and we change so we can become more inclusive. We show up to witness the impact of oppressive systems. We organize and take actions to protect the vulnerable. Did you know that the symbol of our faith, the flaming chalice, was first used by the Unitarian Service Committee as a symbol of life-saving refuge for people fleeing Nazi persecution in Europe? Some of us knew that. We've shown up in the struggles to end slavery, to achieve women's suffrage, to defeat Jim Crow, to win marriage equality, to end child labor, and to support democracy and the rule of law. Our presence in the world has mattered to so many people, and it will matter more and more as we move into the Trump years. The UUA has created what they're calling a community resilience hub. You can Google that, UUA Community Resilience, a place to find support and resources for what lies ahead of us. On that website, they say, together we can harness our collective power to meet this moment, because democracy isn't just something we do, it's who we are and who we strive to be. In moments of instability and fear, we must respond with clarity and courage. It is our responsibility, they say, to leverage our resources, relationships, and collective power to defend democracy, ensure safety, and build a future where everyone can thrive. This statement is grounded in our history of social and political action, in our theology that centers love, which is why our newly revised UUA bylaws remind us, quote, we are accountable to one another for doing the work of living our shared values through the spiritual discipline of love. You might be wondering, if Unitarian Universalism is so important to so many people's lives, why do we stay so small? I think there's a couple of reasons for that. I think one is that we're resistant to telling people about ourselves. Many of us have come to UUism from faith traditions that have done harm as they proselytized, and many of us have been harmed in our past religious experiences. Another is that we can be hard to talk about. How do you describe this amazing faith tradition? I think around this time last year, I had us write elevator speeches, which is a speech you can say to somebody within a couple of floors on an elevator about what UUism is. We're not going to do that today, but it's a good exercise. I think those things combined keep us pretty shy about talking about ourselves, and I think this hampers our ability to grow into our full potential. Our board and I have been talking about congregational growth. You've heard some of that in some of our listening sessions, and we talked about this pretty specifically at our last meeting, after one of our members asked why the congregation stays at roughly the same number of members over the years. And we came up with a couple of things we thought we could easily tell people about REEB. Like what we offer: inclusion, support, love, encouragement to put our values into action. We can tell people our truths about what we have found here at REEB, how good it feels to be part of a community that sees us for who we are, how satisfying it is to work for peace and justice. We can tell people that we think REEB would be even better for their presence among us, that they know things, I'm quoting Rachel Avery, that they know things about joy and peace and freedom that we can't wait to learn, that they bring things we need to be a stronger force for good in the world. So I invite you to bring to mind a friend or a neighbor or a family member that you believe would find something of worth here, or that has something to share that would make us even better. Who do you know like that, that you would like to bring here? And now, if you're comfortable, or even if you're somewhat uncomfortable, but you can push your comfort level in this safe space, I invite you to turn to a neighbor. Tell them what draws you to this congregation. What draws you? What have you found here that keeps you coming? And what do you think your friend or neighbor or family member might bring to make Reeb even better? Go ahead. I'll give you a couple of minutes to talk. I will ring the singing bowl to bring us together.
Thank you.
wasn't so bad, was it? Thank you, friends, for indulging that. And I hope you learned something that you might bring with you. I've always believed that we need each other. This is going to be more true, I think, as we move forward. We will need each other's companionship, support, and energy if we're to continue to live our values. And the more of us there are, the better resourced we'll be. I close with a second wisdom reading, this one from our own tradition and very current. The Reverend Dr. Molly Hausch Gordon is the minister for the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Columbia, Missouri. If she might look familiar, she is the minister who preached the GA, the General Assembly Sunday service this year. She posted these two pieces on social media on November 7th. I will give you a few moments of quiet after I read her words to give you a chance to sit with them. Okay, so here is what we're going to do. First, we're going to tend to our bodies. Drink water. Move some of the adrenaline out. Walk, dance, cry, breathe, sing, have sex, rock, shake, jiggle, cuddle. This may take a while. This is a trauma and a grief. Be so, so gentle with yourself. Second, we are going to get with our people. Isolation is the enemy. Safety is in community, and there are communities of resistance and hope right where you are. We will need each other. We always did. Then, in a while, when we are ready, with our people and our bodies and all our resources, we are going to make sanctuaries for all we can save. There is so much we can save. And here's one other thing. I think humans in Western cultures often need to feel like there is an upward arc to history and some promised arrival in order for there to be meaning in our lives. But the place we are going is just around the sun on a miracle of a planet. And I want to tell you that we are still alive in a world that is so beautiful and so brutal all at once and always has been. And it is all drenched in meaning, no matter where it's headed. And it matters that we love each other well and that we drink up the beauty and resist the brutality. It matters. May it be so, and may we be so.